this edition of WBOI's Field Notes. Victoria Jacobson catches us up on local swimming while helping us look ahead on high school girls' golf, football, and more. I'll close out with notes on the Tin Caps, the Fever, and the NFL preseason. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Victoria Jacobson from the Journal-Gazette is with us as well. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Last week, you helped us prepare for City Swim, which took place over the weekend. How did things shake out?
Well, it was a really, really close one this year. Sometimes as they are announcing which teams won the different age groups, won the boys or the girls breakdowns, you can kind of glean from that who's going to come out ahead. And this time I was standing next to a couple parents and they were like, I don't know who it is. So it turned out that we had one team went on the boys' side, one team went on the girls' side. Autumn Ridge was the overall champion. They last won 2 years ago. And Pocahontas was really, really close behind, just a little bit over 100 points behind. And when we're talking about teams winning, you know, 2,000 points or so, that's a pretty narrow margin. And so it was a really, really close one. It was really meaningful for Autumn Ridge. This is the last season for head team coach Maddie McIntosh. So she was pretty emotional as she went and accepted the trophy. And then, as is tradition, the entire team, the littlest kids to the coaches, everybody, you know, jumps in and celebrates with the trophy. So it was a really fun day.
We also saw some local success at the Speedo Junior National Championship all the way out in Irvine, California, Sunday. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, so that is a very large meet. I was just coming through the results. It goes from Wednesday to Sunday, and there are so many events. But we had a local winner. Julie Mishler recently graduated from Wawasee. She's about to show up at Louisville to start her college career. She won the women's 50-meter freestyle in 25 seconds flat, which is a meet record. The previous record was 25.07, and that was set a decade ago. Julie's time ties her for 11th all-time in that event in the girls' 17-18 age group. So that's a really, really big accomplishment for her and a great way to kind of jump off into her college career.
School is back in session, which means high school sports are gearing back up. As we've discussed, girls' golf is the first one to get started. What can we expect heading into the season?
Yes, so we are already a couple days into the season. I know that's kind of hard to believe, because it is only early August. But we had the Homestead Invite, which had quite a number of top teams from around the state on Monday. None of our local teams were among the very top finishers there, but Carroll was our top local finisher. The Charter shot a 332, and then the host Homestead shot 336. So it's going to be pretty close between those two teams again this year. It's looking like last year, Homestead and Carroll tied for third at the East Noble Regional, and that was broken by a tiebreaker based on the fifth score. So Homestead got to go to the state finals, Carroll did not. So these are two teams that could be really closely matched once again. Carroll is our top-ranked team in the coaches poll. Homestead and DeKalb are also ranked, but nobody is in the top 10. So DeKalb also had a good start to their season. The Barons did not compete at the Homestead Invite. They went down to the Guerin Catholic Invite and finished third there. They had three different girls shoot in the 70s. So it's looking like the Barons could have another really strong season too.
Football practices have also begun, and even though things aren't too intense on the field yet, some schools are eager for the season to start.
Yeah, so I was at Carroll on the first day of practice. The Chargers are the defending SAC champions. They went undefeated against local teams last year. But the funny thing is, as I was talking to Coach Doug Dinan and some of the players, you are not allowed to wear pads for the first couple days of practice. Full contact practices can start on Thursday. So in some ways, they were more limited in these first couple days of practice than they had been during some of the off-season training in June and July. So you could tell that some of the players especially were kind of eager to get deeper into this practice schedule. ready to start hitting again, ready to get a little bit more physical. But, you know, you got to start slow. You got to ease into it. And so they are excited about getting their feet back under them and really getting closer and closer to the games, which are the exciting part. Ball camp is not the fun part for most players.
What else are you keeping an eye on over the next week?
There's going to be a lot of girls golf as we start off here because these tournaments take a lot of time and it is helpful to get in as many of these tournaments as possible before school starts and before you have to start worrying about classes and travels a little bit easier and everything. So we're going to be seeing a lot of higher profile invitational meets where there are teams from across the state competing at the same time. So that'll be interesting. And then also it's time to start thinking about previews for our other sports. We have girls volleyball. Carol is a defending state champion in 4A there. We have girls and boys soccer, where there are some local teams looking pretty good in the preseason polls. We are introducing girls flag football. So it's time to look into that and see which teams are going to be fielding a flag football teams as it is an emerging sport this year. And then boys tennis and cross country. Cross country has always been, has a special place in my heart. We have a defending state champion in Concordia's Mallory Weller. So a lot to get excited about and just kind of get everything together before we jump into the fall season, which is really probably our busiest for high school sports.
Victoria Jacobson is covering the wide range of local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, last week's episode came out before the big trades that rocked the Tin Caps, but our local team is going to look a little different for the rest of the season. Number 3 overall prospect Leo DeVries and standout infielder Brandon Butterworth were casualties in the Padres' big deadline action. DeVries was the headliner in the move that sent Mason Miller and J.P. Sears from the Athletics to San Diego, while Butterworth is now with the Orioles organization. It's a tough loss for the Tin Caps, but A.J. Preller and the Padres are always in win-now mode, which means prospects are never truly safe. Given how all of these teams' rosters are built, I think DeVries and Butterworth stand a better chance at reaching the big leagues sooner than they would have with San Diego. Everyone wins here, except the Tin Caps this season. And it has been a rough go for our team of late. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games and have fallen to 4th in the Midwest League's East Division. They sit 4 games behind 2nd place Lake County. That's who they'll need to overcome if they want to reach the playoffs. Now without DeVries and Butterworth, it's going to be tough. But nothing's impossible. We're less than a month away from the end of the season, which is Sunday, September 7th. This week they'll finish their series against the South Bend Cubs Sunday, then return home for a set against the first place West Michigan Whitecaps. Major League Baseball is heating up with less than 2 months left in the season. So long as I ignore the Cubs' underwhelming deadline and subsequent challenges winning games. The Yankees are in a free fall, so I'll be watching to see if they right the ship and, if not, how it ends up affecting the American League playoff race going forward. Lots of fun teams making up the National League race with the red-hot Milwaukee Brewers, who are an outrageous 44-16 in their last 60 games, plus big additions by the Mets, Phillies, and Padres at the deadline, priming them for late-season dominance. I love this time in the baseball season. The Indiana Fever had a nice winning streak going, though it was snapped by the Los Angeles Sparks on the road Tuesday night. Their road trip continues tonight against the Phoenix Mercury. That's on Amazon Prime at 10. Then they return home to host the Chicago Sky Saturday and Dallas Wings on Tuesday. These are all winnable games. They're currently 4 games above 500 now and 3rd in the Eastern Conference. That's only 2.5 games out of first place. So for all the challenges the team has faced this year, they're still very much in the conversation. It should be a thrilling end to the season. Can we stop throwing objects onto the court, though? It's dangerous and honestly so disrespectful to the world-class athletes that other people are enjoying watching play. I try not to be a scold, and I'm even known to support a certain level of fan rudeness, but this current trend is really off-putting and crosses a line. Anyway, we had the Hall of Fame game in Canton last week, but from my view, the NFL calendar really kicks off today. Madden 26 Early Access begins, and we have three games on tonight's schedule, including your Indianapolis Colts. They're in Baltimore to take on the Ravens. That starts at 7 and will be on NFL Network. Tonight will also feature the Bengals and Eagles in Philly, as well as Pete Carroll immediately getting his first shot at his former team with his Raiders taking on the Seahawks in the Pacific Northwest. Games for all teams are scheduled for the rest of the weekend. The regular season starts Thursday, September 4th, with the defending champion Eagles hosting the Dallas Cowboys, and the following Friday, the Chiefs will take on the Los Angeles Chargers in Sao Paulo. Everyone else plays that Sunday, except for the Bears and Vikings, who get the first Monday night game of the year from Chicago. I'm so excited. Football is back. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.